Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We begin our study on the new book, as well as a continuation of our study on the book of the Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul wrote two of them, one after the other. In the case of 1 Thessalonians, problems arose within the church, and he had to minister to them, to encourage them, and to educate them, so that they will not be deceived. However, the enemy will continue to bring deception and false teachings into all of God's churches who desire to teach and preach the Word of God and to stand squarely on the perfect Word of God. Satan will never leave such churches alone. He will consistently and constantly try to destroy such churches, and that would be you and me, your families, all those who come to church to worship the Lord. And as you know, the trials and the difficulties have increased and have risen, as you can see in verse 4, where the Apostle Paul said that there were the patience and the faith of the believers in Thessalonica. They have been strengthened, for in the face of persecutions and tribulations, they endured. We're going to talk more about that, God willing, next Lord's Day. So it was a difficult time for the brethren in the church in Thessalonica. Trials and difficulties. And yet in the midst of all this, you realize that the Apostle Paul, when he thinks of this church, he said that I am constrained. And so he used the word bound, constrained, to thank God always for them. Do you have much to thank God for? When you sit down in the quietness of your room, and everyone in your family who is asleep, whom you care for very much, and the stillness of the wee hours of the morning or wee hours of the night, who do you thank God for? What do you thank God for? Do you thank God for people, for the blessings that you have received from God? Because what we thank God for will reveal what means the most to us, isn't it? Do you thank God for your families? Do you thank God for the health of your families? If you do, then the health of your family is foremost in your mind. Do you thank God for the salvation that God has given to your spouse and to your children? If you do, then their salvation is foremost in your mind. If you only thank God for their jobs, then their job security is foremost in your heart and in your mind. What about the church? Do you ever thank God for the church? To the Apostle Paul, who had many, many burdens and problems in his life, the churches that God used him to found were his family. They were very dear to his heart, and this church in Thessalonica was one of them. It's not about the building, it's always about the people that his life has impacted, that meant a whole lot to the Apostle Paul. And when news came to him that these brethren that he loved dearly came under attack because of lack of knowledge, he wrote 1 Thessalonians to teach them, to educate them, because he wanted the best for them. And then very soon after that, news returned that new problems had arisen in the church. In 2 Thessalonians, we know that these problems were very real, and many of the members perhaps came under assault once more. And so he had to write 2 Thessalonians to encourage them once more. But this time, although verse 1 and verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians is very similar to verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians, with one difference. And the difference is the word "our." In 1 Thessalonians, when he introduced himself to them, he said, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Whereas in verse 1 of chapter 1 in 2 Thessalonians, he says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father." That's the only difference, our Father. At first, he says, the Father, but now he realized how dear and how true the faith of the Christians in Thessalonica was. He now identified himself with them, which he was a little careful in 1 Thessalonians, he did not. But this time round, he did. Our Father, your Heavenly Father is also my Heavenly Father, the Apostle Paul says. Bound to thank God, the focus is the church. And I hope that after this morning, you would also include in your thanksgiving, when you sit down in the quietness of your room, when you commune with God in your prayers. Thank God for your family, thank God for your loved ones, your job, by all means. They are blessings from the Lord into your life as long as you desire spiritual blessings for them as well as in your workplace. Not just material and carnal, please, but spiritual, by all means. But please also do not forget the church. We know that church to some of us may be an appendix in our lives, but not the Apostle Paul. The church must not be an appendix into the lives of all of God's children. Yes, we know that the church could be the invisible church, whereby it is made up only of believers. And the invisible church begins from the first person to be saved, and that would be Adam and Eve, assuming that they were born again, which we believe they were. But the local churches, they are also important. But they are important in a very different way. The invisible church, also known as the body of Christ, they are the only ones who will enter heaven, and they are made up of all believers only. We do not know where they are all located, and we hope that everyone in Calvary Pandan is part of the invisible church. That's our hope and that's our prayer. And that's why we keep on and continue to preach the gospel. We keep on emphasizing, check your salvation to make sure that you are born again. But in the local church, what the invisible church cannot do, the local church can do, and that is the testimony and the witness. The testimony of Calvary Pandan BB Church is important. And you know that many local churches are falling like 10 pins. The reason they are falling like 10 pins is because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the Bible says, Jesus says, will I find faith on the earth when I return? That means there will be very few genuine, true, born-again believers. The church is a place where we gather. The church is a place where we gather because we all say that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we gather for a purpose, and that is to worship the one living and true God through Jesus Christ. Nothing else. We are not here for any other hidden agenda other than for that one reason and purpose. And when we gather together, we encourage one another. We try our best with God's enabling to build each other's faith up, to help one another to walk the narrow path that will end up through the narrow gate, which is life eternal. That is why the local church is so important. Please, when you remember to thank God, remember to thank God's church, this church. Would you? The Apostle Paul did. And the reason why he did in verse 1, when he focused and he thinks of this church in Thessalonica, he says, Paul himself, of course, Silvanus, which is another name for Silas, and Timotheus. Paul was now with Silas instead of Barnabas because of a dissension that he had with Barnabas. And so Silas became his new co-laborer. Timothy joined them during the second mission trip. And Timothy was a half Jew and a half Gentile. And Timothy and Silas were under studies, under training or tutelage, where the Apostle Paul will guide them, and they will soon be dispersed to be the arm and leg of the Apostle Paul when Paul was in prison. They will become pastors of some of these churches where Paul will send them to continue on the good work to build up the faith. But here they were together. And so Paul included their names in his greeting, although this epistle was written by Paul, but he included his two co-laborers. Then he said, it's to the church located in Thessalonica, and so they are called Thessalonians, and so they are called the Church of the Thessalonians. Please note the word in, the preposition, in God our Father. That means this church is founded in the knowledge of God. This church is not founded after the Apostle Paul's name. You know that there are many churches that are founded for all the wrong reasons. And some of these churches that have been founded in God has now strayed so far away that it's no more in God and definitely no longer of God. As long as the church in Thessalonica was still in God, the Apostle Paul says, I have much to thank God for. And I'm compelled, that's why he used the word bound. I can't help myself, but when I think of the Christians in the church in Thessalonica that is still in God, he says, I'm constrained within my heart with every remembrance of you to thank God for your continual existence. Is Calvary Pandan still in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it or is it not in God? How do you know whether a church is in God or not? By our worship and by our emphasis. The church must not be an emphasis of the founder or any man. It must be in God, nobody else. That is why we are very careful when we have our church website. The emphasis is not man. It cannot be man, because no man can found any church. It has to be God, and it has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it's not through the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not a true church. It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Not Jesus Christ and many others. It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ in order for it to be in God, whereby God is present, whereby God is pleased to be present. Just as God was pleased to be present in the nation of Israel, when God, pillar of fire and pillar of cloud, descend into the midst of Israel, where God said, I'm pleased to put my home in the midst of Israel, which was his tabernacle, later on the temple. This is something that we must not take for granted. For many of you who have traveled overseas, you realize that when you attend some of these churches, they are no longer in God, isn't it? And that's why you could not stay. The way they worship, the emphasis in their worship is about man. It's about social activities. It's about sentimental love and care and concern. Please understand that in order for Satan to deceive, churches that are under his control will not be made up of people who are quarrelsome and cantankerous. This kind of conduct will drive people away. All he needs to do is to take away Jesus Christ from the heart of the church, where what you have remain will be just a shell. And this shell will continue to exist. And Satan will be very clever to make sure that the people who are in this shell of a church, they are very nice people, they are very warm people, they are very, very helpful people even. Otherwise, the church will just simply die off. You come in and people are rude and crude. You come in and the people, all they do is to abuse you and to ignore you. No church will survive. Not even a godly church. And so in order for Satan to succeed, please do not just look for a church that is warm and nice and they notice you and they keep on making you the center of the church's existence. Where Jesus Christ is hardly mentioned. If he is ever mentioned, it is not according to the scriptures. Please do not be naive. Do not be undiscerning. We live in the last days, where churches, by and large, many of them have fallen away, as you are going to see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Before the end time, one world church of the saints of the Antichrist can become a reality, there must be a falling away, because the only thing that stands in Satan's way in the formation of the one world church is the true church of Jesus Christ. And that has to be surrendered. That means fundamentalism, conservatism will shrink more and more with the passage of time. Why do we not worship God with drums and all those entertainment material? Because God is not an entertainer. When people come to church, God is not here to entertain you, and we are not here to entertain you. We are here to worship God. And that's why we have from the scripture, the Bible tells us that God is awesome. God is reverent. God is holy. God is true. God is pure. And that's why when we worship Him, it has to be reverential. It cannot be flippant. Because we wanted this church to continue to be in God. Not only when it was founded, then it was in God, but continue to be in God. And that's why we pray for God's grace and God's mercy. That if God were to be gracious and merciful to keep Pandan faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ even unto the day of His return. Because it is not good enough that the church here is in God in your lifetime. It has to continue to be in God after your lifetime so that our sons and our daughters may continue to worship and to serve God in a church that is in God through Jesus Christ. And we have to pass this on. Faithful men and women who will continue on to ensure that this is true. So that they in turn may learn and cherish this and pass it on to their sons and their daughters, which will be our grandchildren, if the Lord tarries. Because many churches fail to do that. All you need is one generation of derelict leaders and the church will die. And this church in Thessalonica had sadly that one generation. And that's why it does not exist anymore. You go to Thessalonica, this church does not exist. All the churches mentioned here, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, all gone. All gone. All you need is one generation of carnal worldly leaders and every past generations of strong fundamentalism will just simply collapse. And in order for the church to be revived and to come back to the right path, it's near impossible. Do you know why? Because when you have derelict leaders who enter into the church, beginning with the pastor, all you need is the pastor who is derelict, and the church will die. Because he will bring into the leadership elders and deacons who will also be derelict like him. And those who are godly, those who can see through the derelict leaders, they are going to pack their bags and leave. And all those who remain behind are those who are probably goats, who do not know better. And so goats will elect more goats. And therefore the church will not be made up of all goats. And that's why it is near impossible to turn around and become godly again. That has happened to many, many churches. That was the origin of the BP movement. That was how the BP movement was formed. Enemies infiltrated. They fought from within and they lost and they have no choice but to come out and start afresh. And now after so many years, the enemies have infiltrated all over again. And now we have to continue to be vigilant and keep on fighting to make sure that whenever we think of Calvary Pandan, just as the Apostle Paul thought of the church in Thessalonica, I'm bound to thank God because the church in Thessalonica was still in God. In God. Our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this true of Calvary Pandan? It's up to you. Each and every one of us must do our part. The ACM is coming. Do your part. Don't take it for granted. Don't say, oh, they don't need me. Somebody else will come. They don't need me to be present. It's not a matter of fulfilling the quorum. Please. It is and should be our concern. You are parent. You are concerned for your children's spiritual well-being. Then please do your part in making sure that this church will remain in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not a family member, you're just a single person, you also have your part. Because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, are we not? We are a family. We are a family that is closer than the family of human blood and flesh. We are a family that is made by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is eternal. Family on earth is not eternal if one family member is not born again. The family member on earth is only eternal if everyone in that family is born again. And that eternality that you're going to enjoy as a family is not based upon your human blood. You know that. It's based upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that now binds you together, not only within your family, but the family of God at large. That must be our concern. That is why the church here is everyone's concern. It's not just the Apostle Paul, whom God used to found the church. Yes, the founder, the leaders must have the welfare, the spiritual well-being of the church at heart. Must. No doubt about it. But it must not be them alone. It has to be from everyone in the church. You have to have this love for the church. Otherwise, you will not thank God for the church. Please do not assume that Calvary Pipeline will just remain faithful without human responsibility. There must be human responsibility, and one of them is to remember before God's throne of grace. So he was bound to thank God. The focus was the church. Basis for thanking God. What is the basis? Verse 2. Grace of God, peace of God. Isn't it? The grace that God has in your life, the peace that you have from God. This was what the Apostle Paul found in the church in Thessalonica that prompted him to say, I am constrained. I am bound to thank God for all of you because of God's grace and God's peace that God has blessed all of you with. What is God's grace? Salvation. Please understand, it has to be salvation because of the peace. The peace that you now have with God because of the salvation that you have. It's not about the material things. It's not about the numbers. It's about the people who have experienced God's grace and God's peace in their lives that constrain him to thank God. That is basis. That is his basis. Please do not come to church because you think that by coming to church you're going to score points and earn your way to heaven. That is wrong. Everything that you do in the church, including the ability to give of your offering, the baptism by water, the Lord's Supper, ministries and services, all these are by the grace and the mercies of God Almighty. It's because you have peace with God, that's why God can receive you and accept your service. Because if you do not have peace with God, which means you are still an enemy of God, and as an enemy of God, everything you do that may have the appearance of good works in the eyes of man are only filthy rags in his sight. But because you have been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ through his grace. Now you know what grace means. Grace means you do not earn it. You do not deserve it. It is given to you gratuitously by God himself. You don't deserve any of this because we are all totally depraved. All of us, full of sin, no exception. And then because of God's grace in your life, that's how the church in Thessalonica can be said to be in God. Because they have experienced God's grace and now they have peace with God. Do you have this? Do you have God's grace and God's peace in your heart and in your life? To know that you are a child of God because of God's grace. And that means you are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. That means you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means to come to church, it's not just a matter of duty, but a matter of desire. I want to, because every Lord's Day when I come together, I see my family. I see God's children. I see God's people. I see my brother, my sister in Christ Jesus. That was the Apostle Paul's feeling whenever he goes to church. That should be our feeling too. No strangers. Our brothers and sisters' relationship in Christ Jesus is deeper and stronger than any human brother or sister relationship. Please don't ever forget that. It was a very sad statement for someone to make when we found out that this person was not very healthy. He had a heart problem. And so the leaders of the church were very concerned, and then we asked him, do you want help? If there's anything the church can do, please do not hesitate to ask. Oh, the church will not be my first place to ask for help. I'm going to ask my own brother and sister. My family will be first. That is a very sad statement to make. The person doesn't understand church family life. And soon this person left the church. And he did. He left the church. He was with us for many years. But his understanding and his concept of what it means to be a Christian, to have brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Lord, he did not understand. When the disciples said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "We have given up everyone, we have given up everything to follow you. What do we have left on this earth?" Jesus says, "You have mothers, you have brothers, you have sisters. 100 times more. Everyone who is truly born again in Christ Jesus is your mother, is your brother, is your sister." Do you realize that? That's what a church is, and that's how you must look at the church. It is a very sad thing when we do not see and understand what church life means. And that's why when people say, "Can I not just worship at home now that maybe our church should have this live streaming? Then I just wake up in my pajamas, so convenient, just on, and then, you know, I'm here with you all like, in spirit like, through the gadget that now modern advancement avails me. Is that okay?" The person doesn't understand. Really doesn't understand what church life is. I hope you do. I hope you would understand what church life is. Why do you think we encourage people to attend church camp? Because it is a family camp. That's why it's called a family camp. It's an annual family camp. Why do you think the leaders provide as much help as possible, financially speaking, so that no one who desires to go, including the worshipper who may be worshipping with us, for whatever reason, you may not be a member, but you've been with us for a long time, and you really want to attend the camp, please do not hesitate. All the camp commandants and all those who assist have already been told by the BOE. No one who desires to come to the church camp should be prevented because of financial difficulty. Please. It's just like in your own family. You go on a holiday, a family time. Like the parents, you're going to tell your children, "You're going to pay your own, now you have no money, sorry, cannot go." You're going to do that to your own children? Of course you don't. We are a family. And the leaders, by the grace and the mercy of God, understands the importance and the significance of building up this family life. So that you will never forget. It is only by God's grace you and I are together. We all come from different paths, different backgrounds, different way of thinking. Why are we together? Please understand, why are we together? You ask yourself that. Is it because we are all Singaporeans? No. Is it because we are all of the same nationality or same color of skin or same educational level? No. We are all very different. But there is this great commonality, which is the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, that means you cannot pick and choose. God is the one who pick and choose. You cannot say, "I don't like this person in the pew. Oh yeah, he should not be a Christian. I don't like him." Thank God you are not God. Well, if you are God, well, half of us will be gone. Right? You don't like, who are you? If God loves him, if God sent Jesus Christ to die for him just as he did for you, you have no right to say, "I don't like him, I don't want him to be part of God's family." You don't understand what is grace. Did you pay something to God to buy your salvation? Did you do some good deeds that we do not know of? That God gave a special favor to you? God says grace. The Apostle Paul reminded himself and all of us and the Christians in Thessalonica, it is the grace and the peace from God that constrain him. Whenever he thinks of the church in Thessalonica, God's grace is upon this church. They have the peace with God in this church. From God. God gave it to them. And that's why Paul says, "I cannot but continue to remember them and to give thanks to God for them." Because God's grace and God's peace continue to abound in the midst of the church in Thessalonica when he was alive. Is God's grace and God's mercy, God's peace in your life? Yes or no? Have you experienced God's grace when you accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Do you think that you deserve it? Do you think that you did God a favor by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Then you do not appreciate, you do not understand grace. Your salvation is a big question mark. It has to be always God's grace, because it is grace. The gratitude and the thanksgiving that wells within us is supernatural. You can't help it. How can you not give your life as a living sacrifice? How can you not come to church? How can you not give and give your very best and the last ounce of energy? And at the end of it, you can only say to the Lord, that's the least that I can do for you after all that you have given to me by your grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. You sent him to die on the cross for me. What can I ever give back to you? Can even come close to the precious blood of thy only begotten Son, isn't it? Not even one drop of Christ's blood. Whatever we do and give our whole life, even if you can live 1,000 lifetimes and you have given every second of your 1,000 lifetime to the Lord, it can't even be compared to one drop of the blood of Christ, isn't it? That's how precious our salvation is. Because we are bound for hell. You know what hell is like? To be in hell, to be burned and burned and burned, and to suffer intense, excruciating pain where there is gnashing of teeth without end. No comfort, no help from anyone at all, no relief at all. But just excruciating pain over and over and over and over again because of the sins that we have committed against God. And God sent Jesus Christ to die for you and die for me so that this is no longer our lot in life for eternity. But now that we have a hope, we have a place in heaven, but there will be bliss and joy and beauty and purity and the presence of God Almighty Himself because of Jesus Christ. And while we wait for that blessed day, right now on this earth, He has given us the strength. We live for Him. We serve Him to the best of our ability. And every Lord's Day, we come together to encourage one another, because in the course of serving, there will be trials and difficulties, and sometimes some of us may stumble and fall. And so we need the encouragement of others to help pick us up. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In God first, and then from God the basis, the grace and the peace. That strengthen and encourage and feel the joy that was in the Apostle Paul's heart when he thinks of this church in Thessalonica. Can we do the same in Calvary Pandan? And you sit back and you think. Think of the people in the church. Think of all those who serve. Think of all those who serve with you. Some of us are still strangers to one another, isn't it? Because you just come and you just disappear. The problem with Pandan is too many exits. Isn't it true? The moment you disappear, you exit that door, there's another exit down there, the staircase, that you're gone. Right? Whether you come or go, also we do not know. Don't know whether it was last Monday or 2 Mondays ago, when a young man came and talked to me and shared with me a problem that he struggled with, and at the end of that 10-minute conversation, I make a boo-boo. I said, which church do you come from? Yeah, when he said Pandan, yeah. I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. Too many exits. Here, 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 behind, and then the new sanctuary. And the new sanctuary, the people are the worst. I don't even know who is in the new sanctuary. Don't even see them. They may see us, but we can't see them back. So how many there are, we also do not know. They just come and just disappear. That is not church life. You are a stranger. You know, sometimes maybe that's how we experience family life as well. Our home, HDB flat, the little pigeonholes are just like that, isn't it? Our children just go out and they come in, they just shoop, go into their bedroom doors and they close the door, you don't see them. And then by the time you sleep, you wake up, you go to work, and then you come back, they're also in school. And by the time you come back and they also come back late and then they disappear, you hardly have any contact with your children. Maybe that's how you experience your home life and you experience your church life the same way. Come, disappear, and that's it. That should not be the way. There is no interaction. You do not know one another. You should know one another. And the best way is through all the many ministries. The contact group will immediately reduce our church size to a small core of people. The Bible study groups, the fellowship groups, the ministry of the word through the AF, YAF, YF, teens, all these are for that purpose, designed for that purpose, so that people of the same age group will have hopefully the same problems and same struggles, and we gather them together to mutually exhort from God's word and to encourage one another. That's the purpose. The question is, why are you not attending? Why are you not making your life a blessing to others? You know that the years on earth are limited. The years where you can be a blessing and impact the lives of others for the glory of God, very, very few. And every day you miss it, It's gone forever. It's another one day gone. Every week you miss, another one week gone. Every year you miss, another year gone. How many more years you have, you know. You are running out of years. You are running out of weeks. You are running out of days. Don't waste another day. Don't waste another week. How many of us have never attended church camp? You know you are such a big loser when you don't attend church camp, because the blessings that you receive is innumerable. You can't count it. Literally, really, you can't count it. You have to experience it to enjoy it and to know it. The blessings of Christian family life. Please do not see the church as just an appendix. It is by the grace and the peace that God has given to you that you are part of this family. Don't you appreciate what God has done in your life and the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Bound to thank God, focus is the church, the basis, God's grace, God's peace. Thirdly, reason for thanks. We are bound to thank God always for you. Why, brethren? As it is meet, as it is right, worthy. Okay, worthy. That means you are worthy. You are worthy for Paul to thank God continuously. Why? Because that your faith groweth exceedingly. The faith of the Christians in Thessalonica continues to grow exceedingly. They keep on increasing. Now, faith means they are trust in God. Faith means they are trust in God's word. Faith means they are trust in God's word, that they kept on studying, kept on increasing in knowledge. That's what faith is. Faith is directly related to the knowledge of the word of God. And the more they study God's word, the more they obey the word of God. That's what faith is. Faith is not the accumulation of head knowledge. Faith is not just the memorizations of big chunks of the Bible. That is not faith. Faith is obedience to the word of God. Yes, increase in head knowledge will help. But purely, merely increase in head knowledge without translating them into heart knowledge, it will not do any good. It must be translated into heart knowledge whereby your life is changed. Sincerely, truly, from within. That's what faith is. Obedience to the word of God. And it cannot come about without the study of God's word. You must have a good, consistent study program for God's word. Sunday alone is not enough. Your morning quiet time with RPG is not enough. The RPG is only like the appetizer before a meal. It's not the main course. Please don't treat it as the main course. You must be involved during the course of the week to have some form of Bible study. FEBC night classes is one of them. We know that it is a sacrifice after a long day's work. But many good things has to be a sacrifice if you do not put them as a priority. When you want something, we know you're going to get it done. When there's a will, there's a way. We know that. We can see this in the lives of many Singaporeans. And I'm sure you and I are no different. You want to play that golf? You will play that golf. I read in an article somewhere of people who are preparing themselves for the 100 kilometer race. There are people who are crazy. Run 100 kilometers. It's very far, don't you think? 100 kilometers, you know. You know how they train? Every morning they will wake up and they will run one marathon. They will wake up at 4 something and by 5 they will start running. And because they are so good at it, they finish it by 7. About 2 hours. And when they finish it, they will have a shower and then they go to work. And then the next morning they will run another marathon. And so they practice the 100 kilometer race, which is 100 kilometers. A marathon is 42 kilometers. They run marathons Monday to Friday, and some of them 7 days a week, in order to prepare themselves for the 100 kilometer race. They want it. For me, the thought of running half a marathon, I surrender. 100 kilometers, one marathon a day, every morning, you know. Wake up, oh, I run. The number of pair of shoes you wear out, and then your knees are hurt. Oh, yeah, the thought of it already, I sleep. True? I mean, got no way. Well, of course, there is going to be no way. Right? But for the people like this, they are determined to finish the 100 kilometer race. And so one marathon a day. I don't think I'll run one marathon in a lifetime. I have no plans and I don't intend to. Right? So what are the things in your life that you are prepared to bend backwards to get it done? For some people, play golf. Some people like to watch football. And so they will buy the tickets. They're going to buy and pay lots of money to watch soccer. World Cup, they're going to fly halfway around to whatever country where the World Cup is and they're going to go and watch the finals. They're going to pay big bucks. Golf. $1,000 over US a ticket a day to watch Augusta. Crazy. And then you go and watch and see the crowds that are milling around the golf courses. Every head, thousand. Wow, a lot of $1,000, you know. Imagine one day to watch people hit a small ball into a small hole. They pay $1,000 over. No kid. And there are people who will do that. To them, they are prepared to sacrifice. 4 days, there will be $4,000 over US just to watch these people play. Yeah, there's a will, there's a way. What about your faith? The Apostle Paul says, when I think of the Christians in Thessalonica, how their faith increased exceedingly, came on growing. He was so thankful and so delighted. That means the church had a lot of people studying God's word. The church had a lot of people obeying God's word. And the Apostle Paul says, I'm constrained within my heart. Whenever I think of you and I was told of your faith, how it has grown and increased in your trust in God and how your lives have become more and more holy, because that's exactly what will be the outcome. When your faith increases, that means you obey the word of God. It means more and more holy in the way that you live. The Apostle Paul says, I can't help myself but to thank God always for you, my brethren. And you deserve it, he says. Right? It is meet. It is right. It is right for me to thank God when your faith continues to grow and increase. Don't you want that in your own life? Don't you want that in the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ? You can. By encouraging them. Studying God's word. No other way. You want to grow in faith? You cannot do it without knowledge of God's word. Because faith means the more you know God, so the more I can trust God. The more I believe in Him, the more I live my life according to what I learn from God. So that's what faith is. And that was found in the church in Thessalonica. The question is it found in your life? Is your life of faith, has it matured since January 2013? Now we are into April. First quarter of the year is behind us. Now we are entering into the second quarter. What steps, what program do you have to make sure that you grow in the Lord? We have so many ministries, so many Bible studies, so many fellowships. Why are you not attending? When there are people attending, a few of them, a number of them, it encourages our hearts. It encourages my heart. To see the lives of these people when they attend Bible study literally, truly transformed. You see their faces change, you see their lives, you see the conversation. Really, really changes because the word of God has power. And the Apostle Paul says, when I think of the Christians in Thessalonica, how their faith grew exceedingly. He was so thankful to God. Do you? Do you see this in the lives of brothers and sisters in Christ when you think of the church? Do you see it in your own life? The second reason, the charity. Now the word agape is the word that is used here. The word agape occurs in the New Testament 116 times. Out of 116 times, 84 times it is translated as love. Like in Ephesians chapter 5. Husband, love your wives. Love. But in this particular context, just as is in the context of 1 Corinthians 13, the same word agape translated as charity. Why? You see, love, when it is translated, it talks about the feeling. The feeling that we have in our hearts, which is the same kind of love that is sacrificial, that is unconditional. We love others. We love people. We love even our enemies because of Jesus' love for me. Because of the love of Christ that is in me. That's why it's unconditional. I love you not because you are related to me, not because you are nice to me. I love you because of Christ's love. That's always the agape love meaning. As defined in the Bible, unconditional and always sacrificial. We'll go out of our way to help people without expecting any help back in return. That's called sacrificial, unconditional. But in this context, it is translated as charity by the King James translators, which they did it correctly, because whenever it is translated as charity, it is the outward practical expression of the inward feeling of agape love. So you have the feeling, and you have the expression of the feeling, which is seen by your practical expression of that love toward others. And whenever that is the context, the King James translators will use the English word charity. Of course, in Greek, it will still be just agape. And therefore, they did it correctly here. Because the context is the charity of everyone, the practical expression of the agape love in you, is seen by how you relate to one another, toward each other, and it has also abounded, it has also increased. And the Apostle Paul says, not only did your faith increase, but your love toward one another expressed in practical terms has also increased. And the Apostle Paul says, how can I not thank God when I think of such a wonderful, wonderful Christian family life in the church in Thessalonica, where they love one another. Please don't understand love to be something mushy. Love here would mean that I want the best for you according to Holy Scripture, just as you want the best for me according to Holy Scriptures. That means if I have stumbled and fallen, I live in sin, and I cannot see my own sin, please tell me. Please stop me from sinning. Please tell me that I have sinned. Please. That's called love. It's not some mushy love whereby you sweep my sin under the carpet and you allow me to continue to live in sin. You have to stop me. Just as if I see you in sin, I have to stop you. With no hidden agenda. I'm not here to hurt you, I'm here to help you, just as I know you're here to help me if you are to point out some faults or some sin in my own life. That's what this charity is all about. You want the best for me according to Holy Scriptures, just as I want the best for you according to Holy Scriptures. Why do you think David and Jonathan were best of friends? They were best of friends because, number one, both of them loved God with the same kind of love and devotion. Of course, both of them were born again. Second, Jonathan wanted God's will to be accomplished in David's life. And David wanted God's will to be accomplished in Jonathan's life. Now the struggle with Jonathan and David was this. The will of God in David's life would mean that Jonathan will lose his kingdom, because God's will in David's life was he will be the next king. And Jonathan, by default, according to his birthright, as the son of King Saul, he was to be the next king. Now that was Jonathan's dilemma or struggle. If I want my best friend for God's will to be accomplished in his life, it would mean I have to surrender my kingdom. But if this is God's will and I want the best for my friend David and I love him as a Christian brother, then okay, I will surrender my kingdom to him. And that's why he did not lift a finger to hurt David. He did not even assist his own father to divulge where David was hiding. That's what charity is. I want God's will to be accomplished in your life just as you want God's will to be accomplished in my life, with no hidden agenda, with no personal interest at heart, but only your interest, your best interest at heart. That's charity. And God says, I saw this in the church in Thessalonica and it had also increased. Pray tell, has this increased in Calvary Pandan? In your Bible study group, in your contact group, in the lives of the people that you know, has it improved, has it increased? This kind of practical, genuine love and care, has it increased? If it has not, maybe that's the reason why we hardly thank God for our church, for Calvary Pandan, but not the Apostle Paul. He was bound to thank God. Are you constrained, bound to thank God for the church in Calvary Pandan, which is in God, which has grace and peace from God, where the people have grown in faith and in the expression of their love for one another? These are the elements that prompted the Apostle Paul to say, I am bound to thank God. This is our heart's desire for the church in Calvary Pandan. This is what we sit down and reflect and think. And if it is not found in the church in Calvary Pandan, then it's my failure as pastor. then I apologize. Our heart's desire as part of the board of elders is that people who come to Calvary Pandan will be like this, that this church will remain in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, where the lives of the people have experienced God's grace and they have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and they continue to mature and grow in their faith through the study of God's word and the obedience to God's word, and they are genuine expression of love for one another. And if that is found in Calvary Pandan, on behalf of the board of elders, we are bound to thank God for all of you. And it is meet, it is right. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank God, Lord, for this church. We thank God for bringing everyone into this church. For we know that we are here not by accident, but by thy appointment. Help us, each and every one of us, to do our part, that we may truly experience what life in God's church ought to be. It is a church that is founded in God. It is a church where God's people have experienced thy grace and thy peace. It is a church where God's people will grow in faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they express it in their charity one toward another. May this be the experience of all who come to Calvary Pandan BP Church. And where we have failed thee, O Lord, may thou forgive us, especially for us as leaders. For we have not served thee as we ought. We have not prayed sufficiently as we ought. O Lord, may thou lift up our tired hands and our tired feet, that we may never be weary in well-doing, but that we may continue to strive our utmost and to give our very best to thee, O Lord, that Calvary Pandan BPC may truly be a church that is established in God, our Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, where grace and peace and faith and love may continue to abound, that this church will remain faithful and true to our Savior, even unto the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. For this is our heart's cry. May thou hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.